And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, classical contributor Charles Greenfield previews another exciting season for the Community Arts Program Summer Concert Series at the Coral Gables United Church of Christ. Executive and Artistic Director Mark Hart brings us those details. Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and our Broward Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Lashinsky. With a mission to collaborate with emerging artists and cultural innovators to facilitate an exchange of art and ideas and to present cutting-edge interdisciplinary performances and exhibitions, Delray Beach's Arts Garage has had a tough but very successful initial 3 years. So successful, in fact, that this multidisciplinary cultural hub for visual artists, musicians, performers, film presenters, and arts educators will now take over a facility in Pompano Beach. And with us today to talk about that excitement is Arts Garage Executive Director, the Czarina, Ms. Aliona Ash. And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat, Aliona.
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm just thrilled.
I am thrilled watching the incredible growth of Arts Garage and now with new facilities that we'll talk about in a few minutes. But take us back, Aliona, if you would, to the beginning of the organization and tell us how it all came about.
Oh, I would love to do that. So the Creative City Collaborative is actually the organization that manages Arts Garage and now BACA, which is Bailey Contemporary Arts in Pompano. And it was founded through the visionary ideas of Delray Beach City Commission in about 2008, I believe. I came aboard about 4 years ago to contribute to the mission of the organization, mm-hmm. and we opened Arts Garage in April of 2011 mm-hmm. with the idea of making that venue a cultural hub where everything and anything can be seen in a very intimate, personal environment. The venue itself exploded very organically and beautifully. We started off with jazz, then added classical. Very shortly after that, we brought on Lou Tyrrell, the artistic director of our theater program now, who's done a phenomenal job in presenting off-Broadway type of theater in our own backyard here in South Florida, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And now we're doing everything. We just introduced a country music component. We're doing comedy this year. Our educational program has been extremely successful, from offering classes in everything, dealing with the performing arts primarily, in music and in theater. We have a great successful educational program in the summer, our summer camp. So we've been just exploding, adding on different kind of whistles, bells and whistles to make the programming even more exciting and continue to go in that direction.
Yeah. So you all really hit the mark, I think, a number of years ago in that it seems that I guess apparently there was some sort of cultural vacuum, maybe that's too intense a word, but up in Delray Beach, and your shows, your initial year was mostly sold out, so people were really hungry for the arts, the performing arts, and in many genres as well, because as you mentioned, you had a very successful jazz series featuring a lot of South Florida musicians and the blues series and on. Tell us about your audience. Is it a certain age group, or does it cover all ages?
And I think we cover just about everything, and we draw from as far as Miami and mm-hmm. as far as Fort Lauderdale and West Palm Beach, so we get a great respect from the entire South Florida community, and we're just thrilled about that. I think the success of our venue is the diversity of programming that we offer so much for folks to enjoy, and we cross-pollinate. So if you necessarily were not aware or didn't appreciate a certain genre, you can explore it. And again, seeing all of those fantastic artists in such an intimate 150, 175 seat venue mm-hmm. makes it amazing, makes it very special, because you can see the emotions and the passion that the artists present on the stage.
Yeah, that's part of the magic of a typical Arts Garage show. You all really have an interesting presentation as well, because it's bring your own whatever,
yep.
which I think people really love.
Love it. So the idea is you can come in with your own basket of munchies and wine.
As opposed to a $10 box of popcorn.
Exactly, exactly. And our audience goes crazy. We had folks come in with champagne and caviar. We have people come in with beer and pizza. So it's all over the map. And the best thing is people share. So they're sitting at the same table and somebody has dessert and somebody has wine. And all of a sudden you begin to create this social atmosphere of sharing your food and drink. And it adds to the excitement of the venue.
So it's a table setup.
It is.
You aren't sitting in a row of seats or whatever, which I think people love because it's just a little warmer,
I think. And we had folks who actually built friendships because they met at Arts Garage and now they come back as a group and that group is growing as well. So it's a very social environment, which I think is desperately needed.
Now, a couple of years ago, you all had a tough time because your site was threatened. Tell us a little bit about that and tell us in what shape you're in now.
Absolutely. So last year, actually, a year and a half ago, the venue that we're in right now was for sale. And there was an offer made to purchase where we are right now. And the community came together. We came to the city commission and made our case. And thankfully, the phenomenal folks at Delray Beach City Commission realized the value that we bring, not just to the city, but to the region. And decided to go to keep us where we are right now. The challenge, of course, is now we have to purchase the venue and we have to raise $2.5 million just to purchase the venue within 2 years. Ideally, we're launching a $4 million campaign because obviously we need an endowment and we need to make improvements to the venue, but there are so many opportunities for anybody who is interested in contributing to the growth of culture in South Florida to help us out with this purchase and their naming opportunities and a whole bunch of other good, exciting things. But the good thing is that we are staying where we are and we're growing and we're getting bigger and better and the support is there. The fact that so many people showed up and petitioned and called and actually we had, and this is such a moving story for me personally, we had musicians who performed with us come to speak on our behalf. And they've driven from as far as Miami again just to make their voices heard. Federico Bricos was one of them.
Oh, he's incredible.
Fantastic. So I'm so grateful to him for that.
He's just incredible. Now, you feature such extensive presentations, as you've mentioned, Aliona, in so many artistic genres. How has Arts Garage added to its offerings over the years? For instance, tell me about the great education you all do. You have many educational programs.
And I credit Drew Tucker, our director of education, for his vision and his contribution to this. We offer classes in everything from music to theater to movement and very small, intimate environment again, so all the kids get very individualized training and tweaking the programs to meet the needs of our students. Our summer camp is starting in a couple of weeks, and it's a one-week program that lasts for about 8 weeks that kids can come in and enjoy everything from piano to guitar and singing and dancing and performing. At the end, we're going to have a little performance that the kids are going to put together, so it's very exciting.
With so many art classes in schools being threatened all over the country, programs like these are essential.
Critical.
Because arts education helps kids in throughout their whole lives, you all are certainly helping out in that effort. So this is an ongoing situation for Arts Garage, I would guess, all year long.
Definitely. And we also have very extensive education programs that we do with schools. So we reach out to the underserved community and offer as much as we can to help the kids in greatest needs achieve their highest potential.
And, of course, I would assume you have arts educational classes for we old
adults
folks.
Adults as well, absolutely. If you love music, if you love theater, come and see us. We'll definitely work with you.
That's marvelous. Now, tell us about your funding. You touched on it. About, is it always a struggle in these lean economic times, or are the angels waiting outside your door to help you out?
I know they are out there
both.
Somewhere. Absolutely. No, it is a struggle. It's day to day. It's hand to mouth. And we have grown immensely in the last 3 years, but we always need help. And as the organization expands and gets bigger, especially with the Pompano component to it, we are really making a regional impact on our area. So we're looking for folks throughout South Florida to really get involved, whether it's a board position, whether it's a contribution, whether it's a committee, whether it's a volunteer position, whatever you if you have interest and passion for the arts, please reach out to us. We'll make sure to put that to good use.
How would you use volunteers, for instance? Our listenership is a magnificent group of people who really believe in the arts and education, and I'm sure within our listenership we have a lot of people who would like to, can I help you out anyway? What would they do for you?
Anything from ushering, just in seeing a performance as well, to getting, again, involved with the board or a different committee on a much bigger and stronger commitment level. We have opportunities for everybody, whether it's marketing, whatever your interest is, we will find a good way to use that.
Mm-hmm. More information at artsgarage.org and also ccc-arts.org, and that will take you either to Arts Garage or their new facility we'll be talking about in the next segment. And of course, Arts Garage is at 180 Northeast 1st Street in Delray Beach, right off Restaurant Row, as I call it.
Absolutely.
And our guest today, the Executive Director of Arts Garage, Aliona Osh, and we will return with her in just a moment. Please stay with us here on South Florida Arts Beat. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. Our guest, executive director of an amazing not-for-profit Arts Garage located at 180 Northeast 1st Street in Delray Beach. She is Aliona Osh. And I say amazing because their growth in their initial 3 years has been phenomenal. And now, in this segment, we'll certainly touch on their movement into Pompano Beach at a new facility. But let's talk about what's going on at Arts Garage in the next month, say. There's a lot of theater.
Lots of theater. We are launching a Cash Ring of Fire musical, which is it features the best of the music of Johnny Cash in a spectacular jukebox musical. So we're excited about it. It's a national tour. We're partnering up with two other theaters to do this production. So the production is going to travel throughout the country and London as well.
Wow.
And best music. Who does not love Johnny Cash?
I love Johnny Cash.
Amazing.
June Carter Cash?
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's opening up in June. And then in addition, we're going to have lots of jazz. I mean, jazz is our staple, so we love that.
You've always supported jazz throughout your initial 3 years, and
Absolutely.
Bravo. Thank you for that. You've really helped it grow here in South Florida. Who's coming up this year?
Well, we have our bear with special guest, Sammy Figueroa, our own.
Oh, he's
coming.
Superb.
Oh, fantastic.
Don't you love him?
Yes, passionately. They're coming in June. Naples Jazz Orchestra is actually going to be here next weekend, so having 20 musicians in our intimate venue is going to be great. The Friday before that, we're going to be featuring tango. So if you're interested in learning a little bit of tango and then...
Learning. You can teach me how to dance?
Yes,
I don't think so.
So we're going to have a free lesson at 7 and then a performance and dance.
Free dance lesson.
Yep.
Wow.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
And that's Alma de Tango, the Tango Milonga.
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. So that's what's happening. Oh, and then we're also launching our comedy night, which is a new initiative for us. And help us with that is going to be Dan Napolitano, and he's coming in mid-June for that. So a lot of good stuff is happening, a little Brazilian jazz with Rose Max and Diego Figueiredo.
Rose Max is superb.
She's wonderful.
She is probably the finest Brazilian singer here in South Florida. Also, jazz workshop starting June 9th for the kids, ages 11 to 18.
That's part of our summer camp program, absolutely.
Who teaches those workshops?
Well, Drew Tucker is our director of education, and he certainly assembled a phenomenal team of instructors that have incredible credentials.
Now, you have a basic summer camp, June 23rd through August 15th, and you teach kids what?
It's multidisciplinary, so everything from painting to music to drama to movement, you know, we got it all covered.
Well, the movement into Pompano Beach, the Baca facility,
yes.
How did that come about? That's so exciting.
Well, first of all, I want to take my hat off to Pompano Beach, the City Commission, and the Pompano Beach CRA, who have done a phenomenal job of bringing the arts to Pompano and having the real vision of how much arts can contribute to the growth and prosperity of the city.
Mm-hmm.
I've been following their process and progress for the last couple of years, and Baca there was an RFQ that was put out to manage this building called, at that time, Hotel Bailey, and also the Ally building that's under construction right now. So we were selected competitively and opened our doors to what we have renamed as Bailey Contemporary Arts. It's a beautiful venue that has visual art studios on the second level and galleries downstairs. And in the tradition of Creative City Collaborative, we have to mix and match. Mm-hmm. So we're sprinkling in music and film and poetry night. So it's going to be, again, a multicultural hub. is beginning to blossom already. Tonight we have a film night that Carol Greater Bratz is overseeing.
Yeah, our former
afternoon
host. Yeah, wonderful.
And she's being Brazil.
She's working with you all.
She is. We have an amazing team of artists that are working with us, absolutely. So Brazil is tonight. And then we have visual art exhibitions ongoing and are looking for artists to take advantage of the very reasonable price studios upstairs. We have about 10 studios that are out for lease. And we're also going to have a shared space. So if you're an artist and you want to have a place to just come in and paint 24/7, we have facilities to accommodate that now.
So it'll be an office space for them and a studio space for them?
Just visual art studios.
Yeah.
Place
wow.
to work.
Exciting.
To work. Yep.
Now, the Baca Movie Lounge series that you just mentioned will be on Fridays, May and June and July at 7:30. And complimentary wine and a conversation about a film, and then the film screening at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
And you mentioned Brazil is tonight, the mm-hmm. Monty Python film. What you could talk for hours about
it. Absolutely.
That. It's a maddening,
so excited.
Magnificent film. Other films you'll cover, Basquiat, the great artist, A Clockwork Orange, mm-hmm. I Shot Andy Warhol on June 13th, Midnight Cowboy, the Academy Award-winning film, June 20th. What a great film. Shot partially right in downtown Miami, Hollywood, mm-hmm. on Young Circle Bandshell. Around midnight on June 27th, the Mambo Kings, July the 11th, and the list goes on and on. You can find that list at artsgarage.org or ccc-arts.org. That'll take you to the Baca site. Now, you recently hosted a big event, Meet the Artists event and Lyrics Lab,
yes.
at Pompano Beach's Cultural Explosion, and this was this past Wednesday. What was the result of that?
It was fantastic. The turnout was absolutely incredible, and the Lyrics Lab is another very exciting program that we put together. It's a combination of a spoken word and music, so any emerging artist, local artist, that wants to come in with his or her own instruments, ideas, thoughts, we give them the mic, and the synergy and the energy that happens because of that is absolutely fantastic.
Mm.
And that's ongoing. That's a weekly event that we have every single Wednesday from 8 on. Extremely successful, and it's incredible to see how much talent we have in our own backyard.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's so wonderful that you're helping to develop that talent, because as I say, those are the performers of the future and also the arts audiences of the future. Now, Creative City Collaborative has their summer camp programs at Arts Garage and Baca campuses. Tell us about the Baca campuses. That'll run for 8 weeks. Do I read correctly?
It's very similar. It's a similar program that we have in Delray Beach as well. So all disciplines, all inclusive, and will really bring out the best in any child that walks through that door.
Mm-hmm. I understand camps begin at June 9th. Scholarship programs are available.
Always.
Wow.
We're very committed to making sure that everybody has access to high quality arts education.
How do you administer that a scholarship program? You get donations and earmark it for
absolutely
the kids.
Yes.
And somebody who might be a business owner out there and our South Florida audience can help you all out in that effort?
Desperately need the help of our community to make sure that this program is continuing to prosper. And we have so many sponsorship opportunities, from underwriting shows to helping a specific child in need. Again, you name it, we will be able to work with you.
Wow. Well, I'm just dizzy, Aliona. I'm dizzy. I'm going to have to get myself up off the floor. There's just so such an incredible movement in Arts Garage and now in Pompano Beach at the Baca campus. And what are your hopes for the future? What's your wish list? Is there anything else to accomplish?
Of course, there's always more. We're also excited about opening a new venue also in Pompano called the LA Building that's under construction right now. It's a historic building that's going to feature an outdoor stage for about 300. So
Where is that in Pompano?
That's off of Martin Luther King, very close to Baca. So we're building a whole cultural community right there in Pompano Beach. And then the possibility are endless. We're always looking to see how we can contribute to the growth of this region, which is absolutely fantastic.
Now, all this is under the Creative City Collaborative organization.
Yes.
Do you hope to stretch out your wonderful offerings to other cities? I mean, are there any arts deficient areas here in South Florida? I imagine not.
The arts are prospering immensely in this region, which is so exciting. But we would always love to offer our assistance to any city or municipality that is looking to build their arts and culture foundation.
Well, once again, for more information, artsgarage.org is the main website to go to. A great secondary that can lead you to the Baca site as well is ccc-arts.org. And Arts Garage is located at 180 Northeast 1st Street in Delray Beach. You can call them directly at 561-450-6357. Email address?
info@artsgarage.org. We'll always get to everybody and anybody.
That is marvelous. And good luck. There's so much going on. As I say, I am dizzy. Watch out tonight for the film show at Baca Movie Lounge. That starts at 7:30 with complimentary wine and a great conversation about a marvelous film, Brazil. And then they'll screen the film tonight. Admission is free. Wow.
I mean, life is good.
Life is good. Well, thank you so much to Aliona Ash, the executive director of Arts Garage, and good luck to you. We would love to see you come back in another 6 months or so and tell
thank
us
you.
More exciting news.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken whips up A Word on Food, and our Broward Arts Calendar features Jody Horn-Leshinsky, Assistant Director of the Broward Cultural Division. Now, Charles Greenfield welcomes back the executive and artistic director of Miami-Dade County's signature jazz and classical summertime concert series.
The Coral Gables Congregational Church at 3010 DeSoto Boulevard displays its striking Spanish Revival 1924 facade just opposite the landmark Biltmore Hotel. In terms of cultural activities, the Spanish colonial-style sanctuary has dominated the summer season for over two decades, with the sparkling concert series. In 2002, the 450-seat church, listed in the National Registry of Historic Buildings, started a conservatory for the arts for talented but financially challenged Miami-Dade County youth. The conservatory offers one-on-one instrument training, studies in music theory, juried evaluations, performances, forums with artists, and public performance opportunities. Thanks to their after-school curriculum, young musicians follow up with several training performing ensembles throughout the community. Teachers are recruited from stellar sources like the New World Symphony and the University of Miami Frost School of Music. CAP has received the Children's Cultural Coalition's Artist Impact Award that recognizes achievement in the arts for children and families. Best of all, the Young Musicians Summer Master Classes offers an extraordinary opportunity for young musicians to interact with the artists appearing during the summer series. Recently, I spoke to Coral Gables Congregational Church's Artistic and Executive Director, Mark Hart, about its exciting 29th Community Arts Program, CAP, with its 2014 summer concert series, artists, and the programs that will be performed. According to UM's Dean of Music, Shelley Berg, the CAP Summer Series is a, quote, rare opportunity to hear world-renowned artists, close quote. Performances will take place every other Thursday at 8 p.m. from June 5th to August 14th. Mark Hart, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you, Charles. It's always wonderful to be here.
Remind us briefly about the Coral Gables Congregational Church's mission statement in terms of its relationship with the arts and the general community.
Well, the mission statement of the church is the church itself and its body sees the arts as a way of opening a window to the Creator, whomever or whatever that Creator means to you or anyone. But I think we both know that the arts is some way reveals something within us and ignites something within us that takes us to a higher level. So the church itself believes very strongly in the significance of that. And the community arts program itself dovetails off that mission by serving a diverse community with educational and culturally enriching experiences through the transforming power of the arts.
Tell us about the work your organization does with youth and its outreach music education program. I read that you were just in New York at Jazz at Lincoln Center with CAP's All-Star Jazz Ensemble. It must have been a thrill.
It really was. Of course, CAP being the acronym for Community Arts Program, which is the program of the Coral Gables United Church of Christ, which is our arts outreach into the community. And what that does with the Conservatory for the Arts, it offers music learning for children through one-on-one music lessons, classes in music theory, performance. And then we also offer the practical end of that, where students get together and they perform in a number of ensembles, one of them being the one you just mentioned, the All-Star Jazz Ensemble. And most recently, the All-Star Jazz Ensemble was one of 15 youth bands throughout the United States and Canada chosen to perform in Essentially Ellington, which is a program at Jazz at Lincoln Center, under the very wonderful guidance of Wynton Marsalis. And we went there and performed with the other 14 top youth bands in the U.S. and Canada, and came back with three awards, one for an outstanding trombone player, one for outstanding trumpet, and one for outstanding drummer. So we were very proud of that, and it's an invaluable experience for all the kids that were with us.
And did Marsalis interact with them in terms of critique and encouragement?
He did. Wynton Marsalis is very, very hands-on with the program and the kids that are there. He had a great Q&A session with all the kids. He presented all the awards, gave out some just wonderful advice to all the children and youth that were there. And his passion and their passion at Jazz at Lincoln Center is just incredibly significant and very evident.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this terrific summer series that you have. Starting June 5th, the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra with an opening by the CAP All-Star Jazz Ensemble. What kind of sound can we expect, both from the students and the consummate artists?
Yes, well, this is the other arm to the Community Arts Program, in addition to its Conservatory for the Arts, the Summer Concert Series. And the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra is coming back. We had them the last time back in 2006. It's hard to believe it's been 8 years. And of course, it's a big band. So you're going to hear the big band sound, the sound of a swing and great, great music. So it's going to be a very energetic evening. And opening for the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra is the Community Arts Program All-Star Jazz Ensemble. So you're going to hear some of the repertoire that we did at Jazz at Lincoln Center earlier this month. It's a great experience.
I think we'll be swinging,
a big sound.
Swinging in the church.
That I can guarantee.
On June 19th, the very gifted violinist Anne Akiko Myers, a public artist since age 11 with her discs of Barber and Brook violin concertos, comes to the sanctuary with Mozart, Ravel, and Piazzolla, and she brings a very famous violin.
She does, and this is what is very significant about this, is the fact that Anne Akiko Myers was given not just on loan for a short period, but for life. She's been given the Ex Vieux Temps, the Guarnera del Gesù, dated 1741, and she's been given this for the rest of her life as the caretaker of this. I understand it's a $16 million violin, so you can imagine the sweet sound that comes from that. And not just that, but just the wonderful artistry that Anne Akiko Myers brings with her, no matter what violin she's playing on, is just incredible.
And she's doing Mozart, Ravel, and Piazzolla.
She is, yes. So it's a nice program, very varied. And also, there'll be two premieres on the program as well, one by Mason Bates, East Coast premiere, and then Somai Sato is another composer that she'll be premiering a piece of on the 19th.
July 3rd, you present the Four Freshmen and the Great American Songbook. Why don't you tell the listeners about these four singers and their vocal influence?
Well, gee, what can I say about the Four Freshmen that probably hasn't already been said? It's a group that started in 1948, a group of college students, and of course it's gone under many, many reconstructions over the years, and this is the most recent of the configuration of the Four Freshmen. And the unique quality about these four freshmen is that they're all instrumentalists, so they're all playing instruments and singing, and they're like a four-man band as well as a four-man jazz group. So it's going to be quite interesting and quite a great time, and you'll hear a lot of old tunes and a lot of old jazz tunes, old pop tunes, and of course music from the Great American Songbook.
Mm-hmm. Well, your next classical offering, July 17th, is from the Royal Family guitarist, namely Celino Romero.
Yes, Celino Romero, the youngest of the Romero clan and part of Los Romeros. And last summer, we had his uncle on the program, Pepe Romero. So we're very excited this season to have Celino Romero on the program performing a great guitar recital.
July 31st, we return to jazz with the James Carter Organ Trio. James Carter on alto, tenor, baritone, soprano, sax. Gerard Gibbs on Hammond B3 organ. And Leonard King, drums. I hear there's everything from funk to acoustic.
There is. It's a wide variety of things. I call it a festive jazz feast with all the trimmings, and that's what we're going to get with that concert. And I am just so excited to be dragging a Hammond B3 into that church and exposing that to our audience, that it's going to be just a terrific, terrific evening.
Give our audience a little idea of that Hammond.
Well, you know, if you've ever been to a Baptist church, and they rip up and down that keyboard, and it's every conceivable sound that you could expect out of an organ that is being told that it can express anything it wants. That's what you're going to hear from a Hammond B3 with the Leslie speakers, and I'm just looking forward to that.
Finally, the 2014 summer season at Coral Gables Congregational Church ends with renowned jazz guitarist Livingston Taylor performing folk, pop, gospel, and jazz. It should be a terrific closer.
It is. It's going to be a closer that, you know, I've said that he's an unforgettable arrow to the heart, where he just takes you and he embraces you from the beginning to the end. A great storyteller through his singing of jazz, gospel, pop. And he, of course, he wrote many of the top 40 tunes that his brother James Taylor made very, very popular. So we're looking forward to having Livingston there with us.
Well, Mark Hart, I want to thank you for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you, Charles. And I hope to see you at some of the Community Arts Program Summer Concert Series concerts this year.
The Coral Gables Congregational Church Community Arts Program truly dominates the summer season here in South Florida. When other music series play it safe with fall, winter, early spring season runs, the CGCC takes the seemingly unproductive summer months and has built up a large, expanding audience for over 29 years. Most of their success hinges on the unerring choice of artists, both classical and jazz players, who are established and in some cases on the cusp of successful careers. It's certainly a major treat for South Florida residents during the region's least comfortable season of the year. To order tickets, call 305-448-7421, extension 153, and search the web at communityartsprogram.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the offs and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is nachos. My dentist, Gabriela, is from Mexico. She is a pretty woman with a worldview that is equal parts sarcastic and pacific, a winning combination in my book. She also loves all things food and cooking related. I am convinced that many folks in the medical profession are the most avid in these. Perhaps this stems from a keen sense of physiology and nature in general. Whatever the reason, when I am in her chair, we talk food. Our conversation begins nearly immediately as to what or where each of us has eaten or shopped lately. We don't waste a lot of time with what we didn't like. Our routine is more about helping one another find the best of South Florida. She is a pescatarian, by the way, who admits to allowing just the smallest amount of bacon or chorizo in her food. I love that inconsistency in her. She justifies it by telling me that is where the umami flavors are kept. I am down with that, omnivore that I am. After the painkiller set in, and she and her nurse get to drilling and such, the conversation becomes nearly one-sided, and my responses become comically garbled. Soon I am left with only a grunt or head shakes up and down or side to side. I wonder if she gets a kick out of this. After we were done on my very first visit, she told me of her favorite Mexican restaurant in the area. Now we go there routinely after the drill sessions. I have come to realize how much texture plays into Mexican cookery after these visits, and what I order can be affected on whether the hour with my dentist was rough or not bad at all. It was a gentle visit my last time, and so I took the window of opportunity and had the crispy nachos. They came topped with the traditional things, and while they were good, I immediately began to think how I would have made them a bit differently. Gabriella would be perplexed by my digressions on various classic Mexican dishes and the long traditions many are prized for, but nachos don't actually fall into that camp. The fact is, they haven't been around all that long. Even though millions are served weekly from Amsterdam to Brazil, the first nachos ever served were done so in the Mexican border town of Piedras Negras, just over the border from Eagle Pass, Texas. It was there that the chef of the old Victory Club, one Ignacio Nacho Anaya, created the first version of nachos in 1943 to some ladies who were on a shopping trip in town. His were made with corn chips, jalapenos, and shredded cheddar cheese melted over the top. It was an era before the fully loaded nachos were born. Nowadays, we are offered nachos with black beans, chili, chorizo, guacamole, sour cream, olives, chopped tomatoes, and even more. In Memphis, you can get nachos with barbecue. In my third cookbook, New World Cuisine, I offered a version topped with chicken I marinated in mojo and roasted that has its admirers. Though I know my dentist, Gabriella, will not have it with chicken. Soon I will be back and talking food with her, and afterward I know I will be hungry. I just hope I won't be opting for a soft tamale. I hope I am cleared for some crunchy, crispy nachos. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of the memoir, No Experience Necessary, The Culinary Odyssey of Norman Van Aken. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Caramelization. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat Entertainment Calendar. And we welcome back today Ms. Jody Horn-Leshinsky, Assistant Director of the Broward Cultural Division. Jody, how are you doing these days?
I am doing great and looking forward to this Memorial Day weekend.
Right, right. Lots going on in Broward County.
There is a lot going on. In fact, we want to do a shout-out to the four finalists that are in Broward County who were named among the 75 finalists for the Night Arts Challenge. And just quickly, the Knight Foundation supports ideas that promote quality journalism and advanced media innovation, engaging the communities and fostering the arts. And they believe that democracy thrives when people and communities are informed and engaged.
Amen.
And the four Broward finalists are Fat Village Art District, the Jason Taylor Foundation, Miami City Ballet, who happens to be a regional organization, that's why I mention them, and we fund them up here, and Classical South Florida. So we're so excited for these four finalists, and hopefully they will further and be funded. We'll find out soon.
We will.
Broward Cultural Division invites you to take a culture crawl, and this is a brand new online service, one of the free services offered by Broward County. And it was created on a GIS mapping platform, and it's a listing of arts venues, all of which offer a wide variety of cultural arts programming, but they're all located in Broward County. So this culture crawl provides quick and easy access to the venue's address. You can see what the venue looks like, and then you can click on the venue's website link to get more information. And the tour is also designed for use on smartphones, tablets, and computers, so you can access it anywhere. And when you're planning to attend a cultural arts event, it gives you quick and easy access. So, Ed, did you know that in the state of Florida, there's a wide variety of specialty license plates to choose from?
Yes, I did, but I bet it's extensive.
It is extensive. And when you purchase a specialty license plate, you're not only showing your support, but you're also making a financial contribution to your favorite cause. And the State of the Arts license plate was first introduced in 1995, and Broward Cultural Division has not only been number one in sales of the license plate for the entire state, but has also received more than $1.3 million. And these funds are earmarked for arts programming. So my question to your listeners, are you driving for the arts?
Something to think about.
Something to think about. If you purchase a state-of-the-art vanity license plate, $20 is returned back to Broward Cultural Division, and your $20 is tax deductible. So this weekend, there's so much to do, so let me quickly go through these events for you. This is the last weekend to experience Beating the Heat, Surviving Summer in South Florida, and it's presented by the Fort Lauderdale Historical Society in the New River Inn. The exhibit features the variety of ways our pioneers cooled off, from architecture to undergarments. One way in particular will be a prominent part of the display are the cement window grates. And this was designed by Francis Abreu, a Fort Lauderdale's most prominent architect of the 1920s. Very interesting. So with the support of the BBX Capital Foundation and Nova Southeastern University, artists for conservation establish a new world-class art exhibit, an international cultural event in Fort Lauderdale through June 16th. And it features a selection of artwork by artists from the Marine Explorers Program. This inaugural event, hosted at the Alvin Sherman Library at NSU, features a sampling of art and environmental education programming for youth and adults, lectures and films, and they have plans for a full-scale event in 2015. This Sunday at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts is the Israeli Dance Festival 18th Annual Festival Yachad. More than 500 dancers from local and international companies will perform to Israeli folk dance music, complete with colorful costumes, amazing scenery, and spectacular lighting effects. Since this year's festival is in its 18th year, the theme is Chai, which in Hebrew means life, and is represented by the number 18. Each dance is choreographed to portray a different moment and milestone in Jewish lives. Super Saturated is an art exhibition dripping with color and sensory stimuli located at Young at Art Museum now through June 15th. Super Saturated features works by world-renowned and locally acclaimed contemporary artists, including Kenny Scharf, Federico Urbe, Alex Tremino, Caterina Federici. There's so many more. The Baca Movie Lounge series celebrates the spirit of Baca itself with an eclectic mix of films focusing on art, artists, musicians, cinema history, substance, and style, along with complimentary wine, conversation about film, and a film screening at 8 p.m. Tonight's film is Brazil, about a bureaucrat in a retro-future world who tries to correct an administrative error, and he becomes an enemy of the state. The film is directed by Monty Python alum Terry Gilliam.
That's a great film.
Baca stands for Bailey Contemporary Arts and is located in Pompano Beach right off of I-95 and Atlantic in the historic Hotel Bailey. The South Florida Chamber Ensemble's Program 6, Generation to Generation, takes place on Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at the Emma Lou Olson Center. On Saturdays through May 31st, the Bueller Planetarium and Observatory presents the Solar System Odyssey. The program is a character-driven adventure set in the future in a time when humans have depleted the resources of their home planet. Now through September 2nd, the Museum of Discovery and Science presents Goosebumps, the Science of Fear. This exhibit allows guests to experience fear in a safe environment and discover the science behind their physical and emotional responses. If you would like more detailed cultural event information, please visit artscalendar.com, Broward County's complete guide to the arts. Never miss a thing. Get there.
And a big thanks to Ms. Jody Horn-Leshinsky, Assistant Director of the Broward Cultural Division, for all of that super information. And there's much more to find out on the website. Jody, thank you.
Thank you, Ed, and happy weekend to you.
Let me also mention the Art and Culture Center of Hollywood 17th Annual Cuisine for Art takes place this coming Thursday, May 29th, featuring elected government officials and community leaders serving as celebrity waiters. The March of Celebrity Waiters will be followed by a three-course meal, musical entertainment, a live auction, and the presentation of this year's honoree, Yours Truly. And I want to say thank you wholeheartedly to Joy Satterley and her great staff at the Art and Culture Center of Hollywood, Charmaine, Jane, Alessia, and everybody up there. They're doing a marvelous job, and this is quite a wonderful honor. There'll be a special musical performance by 13-year-old singing sensation Julia Dale, the Miami Heat's Good Luck Charm, and classically trained electric violinist Randy Fischenfeld will also be performing. So for more info, go to artandculturecenter.org or call 954-921-3274. It takes place at the Seminole Hard Rock Casino next Thursday. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. Tune in on your HD radio or go to our website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Charles Greenfield, Norman Van Aken, and Jody Horn-Leshinsky. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. Fax us your event information if you like to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, we'll feature Memorial Day specials all throughout the afternoon. And thank you so much to all the veterans in our listening audience for your wonderful contributions and sacrifices. That will be Monday afternoon. Have yourself a great weekend, and please, as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.